Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in various ways. My blog is lordgaul.podbean.com. I upload to that regularly. I post on my Facebook and I post on my Twitter. Also, thanks to TJ DeSantis and the guys at Between Rounds Radio, I have been moved to other platforms, Spotify, SoundCloud. I'm giving you guys the full treatment. Of course, I've always been on iTunes with Warman Kickfighting Show. And then for those who want the Twitter handle, it's Stephen the Warman at Twitter.com. So we're going to go ahead and go right into the action. Big show happened in Glory. Big show happened in Glory Kickboxing. They returned to Holland, and they didn't do a super huge venue. They did a solid venue, and they put on a really good show. Had some really good stoppages. I mean, violent card throughout. And then, of course, we have And Still at the top of the card. So, first of all, let's go ahead and start off with Petch Panarung Kitmunkau, also known as just Petch. He beats Zahir Adamchuk 49-45 on all three cards. Petch is a phenomenal fighter. Left leg is always on point. He's got exceptional vision. He is so, so difficult to hit consistently and to hit clean. If you get body-to-body to him, he's got an advantage in a clinch game. He's an exceptional fighter. He was able to stay consistent with his offense. Zahir Adamchuk, was in this fight last year, and he had a round where he was able to, get the boxing going a little bit. And, the style of play that he has showed in the last, he's been much more aggressive. Him and Ulyanov put on a fight where he stayed in the pocket and he, scored with the boxing a little bit more. He likes the rear, rear low kick. That's something that him and Mike Jim has been working on a lot. You saw it a lot in the Vidalis fight where he's working on that. But Petch is just an exceptional fighter, and he's had his number in their meetings. So Petch moves on as your champion. Yusri Bulgari gets a victory over Jacob Steben, and Yusri put it all together. Sometimes your fighting ability shows up so much when you just, you get the right camp, everything starts flowing, and then just the confidence. And his boxing was working, the knees, he was able to walk Steben down, kept Steben's back to the ropes. Steben had a few moments where he was trying to bite down and get offense going himself, but just Yusri Bulgari, former champion, he was just too much for him, and scored with consistent boxing throughout. Had him hurt. Steben, it's one of those situations where I saw on Twitter a lot of people were wondering they could have thrown in the towel any time. They thought that he was taking some shots. Steben showed his toughness. He was not going anywhere. He was not going to just go down. And he took a lot of volume, and he made Yusri earn every bit of it until the stoppage was finally called after a knockdown in the second round. Good job by the ref in making that decision. And they did give Steben an opportunity to compete, despite the fact that he was down. So I think that he showed his heart. He just ran into a tougher guy. As for Yusri Bulgari, did a good job of just, his confidence back. He went and worked with his first team. So he wasn't at Mike Sim as much for this one. He went and worked with his first team. He was excited about the guys around him. He was excited about his camp. And he called out the champ. He said he wants to fight Alex Pereira. Wants to do it again. He says, even if he goes to a different weight class, I'll win the title here and then move up to that weight class and come get you. So I like the confidence, and I like a guy who sells himself like that. So shout out to Yusri Bulgari. He put in a really, really good effort. Tijani Bastadi gets a victory over Michael Palandre. Palandre was losing because there was a advantage in the fight for Bastadi in the boxing. Palandre was having moments with his single shots. He had a couple doubles here and there. He's trying to get his kick going, but it just seemed like you are catching Bastadi at an age where his physicality, his body is catching him. Like before he was a skinny kid, because, he's been fighting in Glory since 19 years old, but he had a wiry frame and he had the skill, but he couldn't match the physicality. So in some fights, guys would just bite down on their mouthpieces and just, challenge him physically because he was so thin. But now the body is starting to get used to it. He's, Coliseum Gym, of course, one of the better kickboxing gyms in the world. The bodies that they have around and the different looks that he gets in sparring, not to mention, you know, getting strength and conditioning coaches and stuff like that, you're seeing that as he is now 22 years old, he's physically growing into his body and he's able to handle the stronger offense that he sees in the division. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen after one more year of kind of fighting with this body. Let's see what fights bring. Let's see what opportunities come. But it's cool to see him kind of find his own. Boxing was on point, fought in combos, moved, you know, had a lot of forward pressure. He really did put on an entertaining fight, entertaining show. And then his walkout music was his own rapping because he's into rap now. And he says it's just a fun hobby. But he says, hopefully you guys like the song and you go buy it. That's selling yourself. So good stuff by Bastadi. Very talented guy. Palandri, still skilled, just ran into a better guy on this day. Next fight I'm going to talk about is Jamie Bates as he gets Hirat Grigoryan. Now, based on history, you would say that this was an upset. And it had a little bit of controversy, but I liked how Jamie Bates handled himself professionally. So Bates got a very odd style. He plays with singles in moments where you think he's going to hang out and throw in the pocket a little bit. And then he plays in combos in moments where you think that he's going to be conservative and move. Hirat Grigoryan, moving forward, he's himself. He wants to walk you down, get your back to the ropes, throw in combinations, really attack the low kicks. But this whole fight, he was just kind of kept off balance by the tactics of Bates, who just moved the right way the whole time, got left and right, the whole time, was able to get to the clinch the whole time. He just was a step ahead. Then we get to the second round. There is a break call by John Axwood. After the break is called, a 1-2 is fired. And again, we had the sound. It's different when you're in there, so you don't know if Grigoryan heard it. You know what I'm saying? Just from our camera view, sometimes that we miss the fact that we are getting the best view. I jokingly say we've got God's view. You know what I'm saying? We're floating around the ring and we can hear everything. You know, so and someone's telling us what's going on as it's happening. When you're there live, you don't get none of that. You know. It's a different feeling. So as you watch this fight, you hear the break call. You see him fire the 1-2. He hits him. John Axwood kind of hit him on the shoulder like stop, like that was after my call. And essentially Bates is knocked out. You know, like his eyes go into the back of his head. He goes down. The ref gives him some time to, you know, recover. And he does. Like in that period of time of sitting there and chilling and resting, his vision comes back. He's able to get a hit, clear head, and I'm watching Twitter and I'm just kind of seeing what people's response to it is. And a lot of people were like, this guy was knocked out. Don't send them back in there. I think the commentary team made that call as well, but he'd cleared his head. He prepared for Grigoryan. He wanted to go out in a shield, but most importantly, he probably felt he was winning and he wanted to get the W. Now I did see some people that were upset and said, maybe there should have been a point deducted and so on. But John Axwood to me is the best. I think John Axwood's the best on the planet. Whether a point should have been taken or not, I'll go ahead and leave that to the people in the Twitter sphere. But I do think that it's important to note that if there's a big fight going on in the world, period, and you say John Axwood is the ref, that's a win. I really do trust his judgment in those regards. Bates goes out there, gets right back to work, is able to, on a lot of the scorecards, win that second round. And then in round three, he was able to win that on all the scorecards. He kept avoiding the big shot. He kept clinching at the right time. He kept moving at the right time. Sorry about that. He's a talented guy who really put on a great performance and the biggest fight of his career, the biggest victory of his career, coming off of his second glory win. He had the loss to Demetrius before it. This is huge for him. He is set up very, very well, and I'm excited to see what comes from him in the future. But really, shout out to him and his professionalism because he went down. Mentally, he said, I'm back in this. I just need to get my head clear. And he went out there and he performed. You go person to person, you're going to get different views of whether or not he should have done that. But I like the fact that he did and he put on the performance that he did. Next fight is Sergey Musaboyev as he gets a victory over Ramanart. Fight's just getting going. This is two super skilled, probably the fight that I was most excited for on the card. Two very skilled guys. Musaboyev is very, very popular in terms of his skill set and the wins that he's got, but he's also committed to being in Lithuania, where he is, national hero, and he goes to all the big fundraisers, and he's in the news all the time, and he's just a figure there. He's a big-time kickboxer, and then you've got kickboxing royalty as Royal Menard. the son of Andre Monarch comes out here after a successful run, defending his title in K1 and having fights there. Now he's in Glory, you know, fighting in the 209 light heavyweight division. So early on, both guys are, you know, feeling each other out. Mosboyev finds a moment to score some offense. Then after seeing his opportunity, Menard moves in to throw a combo. And as he closes the distance, he is now close enough to Mosboyev, who just lets his hands go. Big right hand scores. Mosboyev walks him down, hurts him, puts him on the canvas. He gets back up. Menard gets back up. They go back at it again. Menard is not able to continue, and he goes down. Turns out he'd broken his jaw from the right hand that landed from Mosboyev. It happened right in the middle of an exchange. So, again, tough game. Sergey Mosboyev did a really good job of his English is great. So afterwards, he just says, hey, it is part of the game. You don't want anybody to get injured. But, you know, my goal, he said, I thought that I'd be able to prove that I was the better kickboxer over three rounds. I didn't think that I was going to get any kind of stoppage. But he was very sympathetic. He posted on the social medias, you know, the same post that Maral Menard put out about showing where the jaw had broken and showing him in hospital. It's the fight game. So we all understand that this is part of the burden of the sport that we pursue. Those kind of injuries happen when the game is to score offense by inflicting, you know, pain on the other person or clean connects on the other person. We understand that that's part of it. But I think both guys handled it well, and I'm excited to see what happens moving forward for both athletes. I know Menard will be back, and Mosboyev is positioned well. Two Glory wins. Very, very talented guy. It should be fun watching his future. Next fight is Garrick Bellet as he goes against Artur Saladek. And Artur, to his credit, was game. He really did put in really good effort. He looked for opportunities to let his offense flow. Good, you know, striking. It's just that Bellet was just so strong. I think that in future, Bellet, as he grows as an athlete, as he gets stronger, as he learns it, he's going to be a fun fighter to watch for a very, very long time. Second round, he was able to produce a nice sneaky left high kick to score down. I believe that was the second round. His boxing combos were clean. I liked this sneaky lead uppercut that he played with. The confidence, everything about him looked like he was ready for this level and ready for this fight. He goes out there, puts in a great show, and he gets another victory. Anything to do with him fighting is good because the guy is so talented. I always want to see him compete. So good stuff there. Bruno Gazzani and Mohamed Handouf gets an early candidate for a fight of the year. Split decision, 29-28. Two judges for both and the final judge going to Gazzani. This could have gone to any person. This when I watched it, I tweeted this out immediately. If you want to know what kickboxing is, if you want to know what the sport is at its highest level, what it looks like Gazzani and Handouf. They really did put on a great show. Gazzani starts off with the power boxing, closing the distance. He gets some knees and some low kicks, but he forces Handouf to the ropes. And then after about 30 seconds, 45 seconds, here comes Handouf, who's known for that great volume. He's just putting these long chain combos together. And you guys have heard me say it on this podcast many times. I really do credit Lucien Corbin for what he's done in this sport because his style of pad holding and chain combos then kind of picked up and became a wave there in Holland. And now there's a generation of kids who've grown up only knowing throwing chain combinations like that. So when they fight, they throw chain combinations. At least Blade just did an MMA fight the other day. He throws chain combinations. He did it as a kickboxer. He just didn't. He only knows throwing offense like that. And Handouf is from that generation. He's this next young, you know, Moroccan kid with good combination flow who's just down to just flow it out and fight it out no matter what. Great job by both guys. Gazzani would have moments where he'd land the power, where he'd land combinations of his own. And then Mohamed Handouf will come right back with all this volume, chaining combinations together, small break, another chain of combinations. It was the sport at its best. It really is. So early candidate for fight of the year. Gazzani edged it, but it could have gone either way. It was both guys did a great job of representing the sport of kickboxing at the highest and representing themselves in their gyms as professionals. It really was a sport at its best. Vincent Fashani gets a victory over Shujin Jin. This is one of those things where a question is asked of you in the fight that will determine whether or not you can move forward. And it's one of my amateurs just fought this past weekend and he lost. He lost the fight. There were a couple of down calls on him, standing down calls of all that. But there were many times in the fight where he could have just mailed it in. Like mentally he could have been like, hey man, I'm down too much. I can't win in the scorecards. But then he comes out round three, goes after it. You know, he leaves it in the ring. And you know, one of my other fighters said, you find out who you were today. In this situation with Vincent Fasciani, he found out who he was. First, he goes down to a body kick by Jin early, and Xu Jin came out to throw heat. He was mentally ready to score and have successful offense early, scored, Fasciani goes down, and then you ask yourself the question, is this body kick going to stop me? Now, Fasciani had lost in his glory debut, and then he was trying to work himself back, goes out, reinvents himself, goes over to Coliseum Gym, gets a lot of sparring. He was ready for this one, and mentally, he comes back. Gets back out there, round two, he's throwing successful offense, he's all over him, he scores his own knockdown later in the fight, gets round three, and he's able to win in the scorecards. It's what you want from the sport. It's drama. It's you thought it was going to go this way, and then Jin gets this big score, and you're like, okay, is he going to emerge as a contender, someone to pay attention? Then Fasciani has in a moment where he's like, is this the end of the fight for me? Gets up, battles back, is able to go ahead and take the fight in the end. That's what you want. It's kickboxing at its best. Good job by both guys, and we look forward to seeing them in the future. Antonio Campoy gets a victory over Bowie Zinneveld. Zinneveld was game. Like he had some good moments where he was scoring offense. It's just Antonio Campoy, the things that he struggled with in his earlier bouts with River Daz were things that he was able to find this time. You know, he was able to find his range on his kicks because he loves the double kick. He loves the high kick. He loves spinning hook kicks. He loves his boxing in space, but he likes to have the freedom. And this guy will put together a combo where there's four kicks and one punch. You know what I'm saying? Like, he puts it together at a very, very he's extremely talented at chaining his offense together. And when he's on form, he looks great. So you definitely want to see more of him moving forward. You want to see more of him growing and showing the best of his ability. And this was a start to that. And Bowie Zinneveld made a great account for himself, you know, fought well, kept fighting back, stayed in the fight, you know, was able to physically hold up and not take, you know, knockdowns. When all that flash offense is coming at you, you never know what the next strike is. He was game. He just met Antonio Campoy when he was on form and the better fighter. Larina Klein gets a victory over Amira Tinchurina. And Tinchurina really did have some good offensive spots. Like, she was able to score clean combos. She had these series where she would put together teeps and boxing right down the middle. And then she would, you know, sneak a high kick in there, a low kick in there. The trouble that she had, Larina Klein, who's been in this game for an extremely long time, fought shoot boxing, had some good runs there. I think she got to the shoot boxing final round one time, if I remember correctly. Against Erica Kimimura, if I'm remembering correctly. She's had great international experience, both in kickboxing and MMA, but she had probably her best kickboxing performance that I've ever seen her have. Her boxing was good. Like, she was able to throw her power boxing. She was able to find her low kick game. She found her Superman early, Superwoman. Like, she's able to find that offense so quick. Like, just she was just in her flow. And when it looked like she might be slowing and Tinchurina would be coming on, round three was her best round. And she said, it took me a little bit to get going, and then I was feeling it. So it was really cool. Plus, she kind of stole the show. She came out, had the long entrance. She did the run full speed and kind of did the jumping roll into the ring. Good to see her win. It was a lot of fun. Hey, and Tinchurina will be fine. It was her debut. She was an amateur kickboxing standout. She won IFMA for the weight class. She will be fine as a kickboxer moving forward. So good stuff by both ladies. Last fight I'm going to talk about is Nissa Mexen versus John Wynn Lee. Nissa Mexen got it going early. Starts with her. She's got such a lethal lead leg. People don't really understand it because she goes to inside and she goes to the body. And because of the way a human being stand, when their inside low kick is hurt, they're usually still able to stand that way. Whereas if you hurt the outside low kick, if you hurt the outside leg, it's a lot harder. You can see the damage go up a little bit more. In this situation, she was aggressive to the inside low kick. She kept landing right inside of the knee. She had a lot of success. Like, she really did. Like, she's clean combos. She was strong. Her team was confident. They had the Champ Is Here shirts, you know, just trying to say that, hey, we're still here. We're still at the top. And, of course, you know how you guys have heard me in the podcast, how I feel about champions. That's not something you just put down one day. You're champion until you're dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is just, you are, as soon as you win the title one time, you're the champ. For me, you're always the champ. But as far as wearing the title, that is her goal. So she was able to go out, have a successful fight. And to her credit, I actually thought we got some good stuff from Jeon Won Lee. I think she was strong. She's got, like, a good frame to her. Like, her physical size looks strong. And, you know, her boxing and everything came together well. It's just when you get Mexen, who's so good, the hardest thing about Mexen is hitting her and not getting hit back. Because if you kick her, she's going to kick back right away. She's already ready. And her defense is usually strong. So if you try to go into a punch series afterwards, she'll absorb it and then start her own combo right back. So she'll go single shot, double shot, single shot, double shot. She'll keep playing that game. And then all of a sudden you start to try to play, find your own offense, and she counters it. And then all of a sudden you start following, and then she sits on the offense and she's able to score well. Mexen's got a complete game, and she gets 100 wins with this one, and that is as special as it gets. And this isn't including her boxing. She really did have a great, fantastic kickboxing career. Chapter's still being written, but it's awesome to see her get 100 wins. Her, Mon Barlow, girls like that are so rare. Girls who've got 100 fights, it's just a rare, rare feat. So shout out to her and her 100th victory. That's the reason why I kind of separated her and put her in this place. So or talked about her here. So good stuff there. I'm excited about what comes from the athletes on that card. And congrats to the winner. Moving over to ONE Championship, where we had, for me, I guess everybody sees this different, but Stamp Fairtex loses a split decision to Janet Todd. I didn't see it as a split decision. I thought Todd was the better fighter. I thought on this particular night, and again, you can say for the people who are, you know, pundits for Stamp Fairtex, it was a great fight. First of all, it was a great fight. Another candidate for fight of the year early in the season. But I understand how people are there for Stamp Fairtex. And I think I understand people who are like, man, what would have happened if she had had a full camp, or if she didn't have to go in there and, you know, fight month after month trying to get these three titles and trying to be one of their stars and fight all the time. And what if she had gotten the break that, you know, Todd got? You know, I saw that a little bit online, people wondering, well, if this done the same. And then, of course, because I'm here in America, all my American friends are like, W for us, you know, world championship. If you look at the fight, if you look at how it played out, I thought Janet Todd looked to be the bigger, stronger fighter who was landing clean Thai-style combos with a little bit of edge to it. By that edge, I just mean a little bit more boxing in it. But she just looked stronger. Like, she looked stronger, and Stamp looked like she was fighting the bigger girl and finding moments. Now, when they fought before, Stamp was still able to have a lot of success offensively, and then she was able to win some of the clinch battles. But this time, I just thought Janet Todd was better. That's just my personal opinion. I thought that she won clear. I'm curious to see what they do with her moving forward. Will they give her opportunity to, you know, defend the title? I didn't know who had this kickboxing championship before. So if they just put it up for grab just for this one fight, we'll see what happens to it moving forward. I'm always weird about that just because of the history. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Andy Sauer fought Regan Ursel for the title. And since then, I think that was it. Like, Ursel has the title, and I can't remember him defending it outside of that. You know, like, I'm just going off the top of my head. I'm like, okay, he had a fight, but I didn't think that was for the title. Like, but, you know, they did the rematch, and that's it. So if she is the champion, are they going to give Todd a chance to run with it? Are they going to bring in some girls for her to fight? Put on a tournament. Something so that she can build on the momentum of getting this W. Or are they going to let her sit with the title for 4 or 5 months and then do the rematch? I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens. All I know is when I watched this fight, I watched the clips from this fight, I felt like Janet Todd was the better kickboxer, stronger at the weight class, and clearly won. Though Stamp did make it entertaining. So, sorry about that. It's my phone. Also on the card, Sam A gets a title for the strawweight title as he beats Rocky Ogden. Rocky Ogden, who's good social media presence, good fighter from Australia. You know, they had this little clip with Jiang Weipar, and he is talking about how, you know, Rocky is dating his daughter, Jasmine Parr. And he just, you know, they had a lot of fun with it. You know, I thought that it was cool that they were like, well, you know, he's like asking him questions. What's the first movie you guys ever watched? And he says, better be PG. It was fun to watch. I think that he did a good job of selling himself, but then he went in there against Sam A, and Sam A is that deal. Even though Sam A is older, I saw one person on Twitter say, you know, is he going to get knocked out? Is this a old guy gets knocked out on his way out situation? Sam A wasn't having it. He just showed some of the skill that made him great once. Very clean kickboxing, very, very strong fighting. It was really cool to see him get that victory. He really is a talent, and he's a lot of fun to watch. So shout out to Sam A, late in your life, winning the, you know, one championship. And same question, how are they going to build on this? Okay, so that is pretty much it for my results. I'm going to keep the show short today. I'm going to come back with a lot more next week. There was kickboxing all over the place, results all over the place, cool KOs all over the place. So definitely follow me on Twitter, Steven the War Man. Instagram as well, if you guys want to see me, because I coach fighters here and I work with a lot of guys who are in the UFC and stuff like that, and kickboxing. And so if you ever want to get more content from me, you can go Steven the War Man on Twitter or on Instagram. But I'm grateful for everybody who takes the time to listen to this podcast. I really do love kickboxing, and I just want to do my best to get the sport out there at a high level. So you got your kickboxing fixed for the week. God bless. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you soon.